God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is based off of our gospel reading as we hear what is affectionately called the account of Doubting Thomas. The title of this message is The Gospel According to Thomas. Because in the midst of what history has claimed to be doubting Thomas, Thomas makes that bold confession of the faith. He is the one who says, "My Lord and my God." I will admit I was trying to play a little bit with the title. There's actually a book out there called The Gospel of Thomas. It's a book filled with not necessarily Christian thought, but more of a Gnostic thought. Of an idea that, you know, God is not necessarily that true man, true God, as Scripture presents it. So needless to say, the book of what's considered the Gospel of Thomas is not in our Bible. And it's kind of interesting. If you take the words of what Thomas does say in the Gospel of John, "My Lord and my God," realizing that Jesus is the very true Son of God, Son of Man, you can't have the Gospel of, quote, the Book of Thomas in the Bible. But enough of that, let's get on to our text. We really need to back up a week. Last week, the church celebrated the resurrection of our Lord. The women going to the tomb and finding the empty tomb because our Lord has risen. The women then, with the instructions of Jesus, go and tell the disciples. And what was the reaction of the disciples? The disciples go running and checking out the message that the women told them. They hung on to that message, shared it among themselves. Thomas was not with them. And our text for today says they were in that locked room. Thomas was first absent, and Jesus appears and gives them peace. The disciples then find Thomas and tell Thomas the wonderful news that, yes, it is true. The women's testimony is true. The Lord is risen. And then you have Thomas's bold confession of unbelief. "I will not believe unless if I see the nail marks." A week later, now Thomas is with the disciples. Jesus now appears and says, "See my hands, see my side, Thomas. Stop disbelieving, but believe." So we take this special message and account, and we now apply this for our lives. Where's the gospel in that message? Today, as we also celebrate the rite of confirmation, Emily, you know that's one of the things we always talk about. Where is the gospel? Where is the gospel message for today? Well, there's lots of gospel. First of all, we have the news of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. But we also have a lot of other gospel besides that. Please notice what is not said. Pardon my sense of humor here. The women, after they told the disciples about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the disciples in disbelief, the women did not say, "Typical men, they never listen to us women, do they?" As the disciples go check out the message for themselves. There was no message of ridicule here, was there? Plain and simple, the message, the tomb is empty. Our Lord's risen. The disciples didn't quite get the message. They went to check it out. Two of them found out it was true. They told the rest. Now, when the disciples tell Thomas, it is true, he is risen, and Thomas has that bold aspect of unbelief, do the disciples ridicule Thomas? The answer is no. They don't sit there and say to Thomas, "You've been following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for 3 years now. Why can't you believe this beautiful message here?" They did not do that. Instead, they still showed that love, that acceptance of Thomas. What can the church gain from all this? The church needs to remember some very important theological concepts here. That, first of all, we are human beings. And that in the midst of our humanness, sin is residing within us. And because of that sin, we are going to have questions. Doubts will cross our mind. There are some things we may not nor ever understand. Emily, this day you're going to be saying, "This is my faith." Yes, you've had 2 years of instruction under me as your pastor. And I will admit, I enjoy those 2 years. You may think of them as torturous, but at the end of those 2 years, I can guarantee you one thing. You will not know it all. Yes, you're going to say, "This is my faith." But throughout those 2 years, I've done a good job, at least I think so, teaching. I have not told you the whole counsel of God for one very important reason. I don't even know it. Are there some things that even I have to sit there and say, it doesn't make sense to me rationally, but this is what God's word says, so I will believe and trust it? The answer is yes. You know, as we try talking about the Trinity, three persons, one God. Okay? Doesn't add up mathematically. It's not supposed to. We believe and trust that God is one, but yet three persons. We talk about the Lord's Supper and how God reveals himself with that simple bread and wine connected to God's word, but now Christ himself is that bread and wine. Don't ask me the molecular transformation or what takes place on that type of level. God's word says bread, wine, we say yes. God's word says body, blood, we say yes. Forgiveness of sins, amen. That's it. There's a lot more to this Christian faith. But you have been taught in these last few years the basics. This is what it means to believe and trust in the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And is there ever a time in our lives when, even after junior high confirmation is over, where we'll ever have those doubts, like Thomas, like the disciples who didn't want to listen to the women, like the women in the midst of their uncertainty, who's going to roll the stone away? How are we going to do all this? And the answer is yes. Our sinful human nature will bring up these questions and these doubts. And so what happens when these doubts come? We need to remember what Thomas did. In one essence, he sort of named it, and named it well, but then he did go back to where the disciples were. He did hang out with the right crowd, so to speak, and then Jesus came and settled his heart, settled his mind, gave his peace. Emily, if there's anything I want you to take from today, as we celebrate this time where you're going to say, those vows that were made when I was baptized, I now will claim with my own words and lips, I will now believe the faith that the Christian community confesses. If there's one thing I want you to understand, is that in the midst of doubt, in the midst of uncertainty, whatever the world tosses at you, whenever those questions arise, come back to where God's word is present. Come back to where Christ is present. As he promises to be with us in the gathering of two or three believers, as he promises to be with us in his word, as he promises to be with us in his sacrament. It is Christ who gives that peace in the midst of our doubt. Another message that we learn from this account of Thomas is the message of the church and the role of believers. Please note that the disciples, again, what was not said. They were not disappointed in themselves because Thomas didn't immediately believe and trust based on their words. They didn't sit there and think, oh, I should have rephrased it or said it a different way. And they weren't beating Thomas up either verbally by his lack of belief. Instead, they just proclaimed the message. Here at Trinity, that's also our job. Is to proclaim the message of the resurrection. It is God's job to extend the peace. It's God's job to do the converting. It's our job to proclaim the message. This is why we have an early childhood care center, to proclaim the message. Why we have Sunday school, to proclaim the message. Why we have vacation Bible school, to proclaim the message. why we have a worshiping community of believers to proclaim the message and also to administer the sacraments. Yes, that is the church's job, to proclaim that message, to turn hearts, to convert. That's God's job, not mine. I'm not here today to sit there and say, look what I have done. I'm here today to promote what Christ has done. It is through his death and through his resurrection we get reconnected to God. Let's not lose sight of that message. Today, that gospel message is all about what Christ has done, not what you and I have done. So this day, as we celebrate Thomas's bold confession, because after he receives that peace from the Lord, his response, the greatest response, the greatest confession of faith, that human being that I saw died on the cross is now alive, because that human being is my Lord and my God. Emily, today you also will have an opportunity to answer some questions and to state your faith, a faith that will also give you peace. In a world filled with many sins, many questions, and many doubts, will have this impact upon you. Today, you're not going to sit there and say, I now know all the answers. No, I hope not, because I didn't give you all the answers. But today, you will now say, this is what I believe. I believe in the peace, the same peace that God gave through Christ to his disciples. He gives to you through his word and through his sacrament, a time for you to revisit the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be at the same place where Thomas was. As Thomas got to behold Christ with his own eyes, you also will be able to behold Christ as you receive him in his body, in his blood, in the Lord's Supper. This is a day of rejoicing, a day of great confession, a day of proclaiming the message of that death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The world has now been reattached to its Creator through its Redeemer, through his death and resurrection. This is the gospel according to Thomas. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.